Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Matt Egan has a headline in his story today. Trump rally being kept alive by mega profits. Will that continue? Matt joins us now on WGN Radio. Matt, thanks for picking up the phone. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you for asking. Thanks for having me on. And like you said, it's a great time for the market right now. Dow's up 80 points. And if it closes up today, it would be the 25th record so far this year alone.
Why?
Why is it up today?
Lately? I mean, since pick a date. Pick January 1st. Pick January 22nd. Pick the Trump presidency. Why is the market doing so well in the first half?
Well, it's clear that the initial enthusiasm after the election was about the Trump agenda, that investors were fired up about the idea of especially massive tax cuts for corporations, because that would lead to higher profits. Of course, you know, as we know, tax reform remains very uncertain at this point. The entire Trump agenda has not been enacted yet. You see the market still up, and that's largely because corporate profits are doing well anyway, and the U.S. economy continues to be pretty healthy, and interest rates are still very low. So instead of focusing on all the drama in D.C., Wall Street is paying a little more attention to the fundamentals, which admittedly look pretty solid right now.
So does that mean that we're immune to what happens with the health care bill or the tax bill? Say they don't get it passed, or they don't get it passed the way Wall Street likes? Will the market stay where it is?
It's a great question. We have seen in the past dips from the market when the Obamacare repeal efforts stalled and failed. The other way to spin it, though, if you talk to some of the more optimistic analysts on Wall Street, they would say the market might even react positively if the healthcare repeal efforts fail, because it might force the administration and Congress to get something done and get something done quickly on tax reform, which at the end of the day is what investors really care the most about right now.
What sectors are driving the economy? Economy and markets, I know, are not synonymous, but we're talking about the markets. What's driving them?
Look, I mean, the Dow is having a great year so far. It's up about 9%. Believe it or not, it's up, I think, 3,300 points just since the election. But the NASDAQ is up so much more. I mean, you're seeing the NASDAQ up 17% this year because tech stocks continue to perform really, really well. We're looking for more tech numbers to come out as far as earnings go next week from Netflix and Microsoft and a few others. So it's clear that tech is continuing to lead the way.
Hmm. What about housing? What about the automotive sector? Are they vulnerable, housing particularly?
You know, you never know. I think that the thing that people are paying the most attention to is interest rates right now. Obviously, mortgage rates remain extremely low from a historical standpoint, but rates have come up a little bit recently, and you know, some people would wonder whether or not housing could slow down a bit if borrowing costs were to rise.
Well, interest rates are going to go up a little bit here, a little bit there, but the market seems to have weathered that, right?
Sure. You know, the interesting thing as far as, you know, sectors that are doing really well, you know, President Trump has made a really concerted push to talk about not just, you know, helping the energy industry and not just energy independence, but, you know, pushing for American energy dominance. And yet, when you look at how those stocks have performed, the energy sector is the second worst performer so far this year. Energy stocks are down 13%. You know, big names like Exxon and Chevron have struggled, and that continues to be because oil prices remain low, and there continues to be a really, really big oversupply problem there. The agreements to dial back on production by Russia and OPEC have you know, failed to fix the supply glut so far.
How do you describe the U.S. economy?
that it's safe to say that the U.S. economy continues to hum along.
It's not growing fast enough. That's been the criticism, right?
It's a fair criticism. I mean, the recovery from the Great Recession has not been nearly as robust as many would have hoped for. And President Trump set extremely ambitious goals of at least 3%, if not 4% growth. The problem, though, is that the American economy is, you know, it's driven by consumer spending. About 2/3 of it is made up of consumer spending, and consumers aren't spending more right now. I mean, new numbers were out this morning on retail sales for June. Sales were down for a second straight month. And consumer sentiment has also taken a step back from a new survey from University of Michigan back to actually pre-election levels. So, you know, you're not going to see the economy grow all that much faster until you see consumer spending increase.
Well, maybe people will spend more when they start to make more. I mean, you know, unemployment has been, it's a good number these days, even though it ticked up a little bit. But that was because more people were looking. But the point is, they're not making enough money with those jobs. When are we going to get people paid more?
You're right. I mean, wage growth has been extremely disappointing, and you listen to the Federal Reserve talk about how they, you know, they think that, you know, inflation will get to the desired levels and that wage growth will come, but it hasn't happened yet. There continues to be debate over whether or not the jobs market is at full employment at this point. The thinking is that once it gets there or near there, you know, there will be a shortage of talent, and employers will be forced to pay up for workers, but either to keep them or to attract new ones. But it hasn't happened yet, and no one knows for sure when or if it will.
What do you think about this? Say Trump gets impeached or just quits in a huff, which neither of those are likely, but I could almost see this guy saying, fine, and he picks up his marbles and he goes home. Whatever. If for some reason Donald Trump isn't the president of the United States and Mike Pence is, it's still a Republican and it's still a Republican Congress. And I've been thinking all along that all of this is because the Main Street and Wall Street think that their best interests are being protected with Republicans in office. So it's not really Donald Trump. He can take all the credit he wants, but we don't lose much if he's no longer in the big seat. Do you agree with that, or do you think I'm missing something there?
Well, the one thing that I would say you might be missing is the notion about Wall Street doing better under a Republican, because when you actually look back at history, the stock market has had a better performance under Democratic presidents than Republican presidents for whatever reason. But to your point about the current administration, I was at the Salt Hedge Fund Conference in Las Vegas in May, and at the time, people were talking about that very topic, about, you know, how long President Trump would be in office. And there were a number of people who admitted, a number of hedge fund managers and you know, market participants who were talking about the fact that they wouldn't mind if it were, you know, Pence at the top of the ticket instead of or in charge instead,
yeah.
Because you get the same, perhaps a similar agenda, but some of the risks, such as on trade policy and
yeah.
protectionism, and just the general unpredictability that investors don't like, might not be there. So, I mean, that has been talked about. Of course, that would miss the fact that, you know, a sudden change at the top, and it might also include some, you know, a prolonged period of instability in Congress. So it's hard to imagine that, you know, during a time of turmoil, they'd be able to get much of that agenda done anyway, though.
I'm looking for the Jamie Dimon quote. You may have seen that today. Jamie Dimon said that it's embarrassing to be an American. Here's one of our top business leaders. And Steve Bertrand sent me this article just maybe in preparation for his own business hour. But he said as much, and it just sort of fortifies my point, I think, that if Donald Trump wants to take credit for this, that's fine. I don't know. I don't care who gets credit for it. I just know that I have a 401k and it's doing better now. In fact, it makes me wonder, if Hillary Clinton were president, do you think the markets would be where they are right now?
No one knows. And, you know, the market went up heading into the election and seemed to respond positively to positive news for Hillary Clinton. And as you mentioned in the open, the market then tanked in the overnight markets when it became clear that Hillary Clinton was not going to win outright. And yet all of that fear disappeared by the morning, and the market started positively that first day after the election, and for the most part has gone up since then. So it's hard to say for sure, and there was a certain amount of optimism among investors, small business owners, and consumers triggered by the election, either the fact that it was over or more likely some of the policies and policy changes that were being announced. Some of that optimism, though, has either begun to fade or has already completely faded. So at this point, you know, the market seems to be responding a little bit more to the fundamentals rather than all of the headlines out of Washington.
This is the Jamie Dimon headline. It's in the USA Today. I'm reading Money Watch. What am I looking at here? Almost an embarrassment being an American. J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon lashed out at U.S. government policy during the company's quarterly earnings conference. It's almost an embarrassment being an American citizen and listening to the stupid bleep we have to deal with in this country, Dimon said. He was answering a question from UBS analyst Saul Martinez about whether political gridlock seemed likely to stunt the nation's economic growth. The CEO, regarded by many as the country's foremost banking executive, took it as a chance to deride U.S. policies, which he said are hindering faster expansion. I was just in France, Argentina, Israel, Ireland. We met with the Prime Minister of India and China, Dimon said. It's amazing to me that every single one of these countries understands the practical policies that promote business and growth are good for the average citizens of this country, for jobs and wages, and that somehow this great American free enterprise system, we no longer get it. Well, maybe that's not directed at the president per se, but he said it's an embarrassment being an American, Steve.
I actually have this in my 2 o'clock newscast, and I think he said at one point it's not a Republican or Democratic issue. It's kind of the malaise of all of them. But anyway, here's what it sounded like.
We have become one of the most bureaucratic, confusing, litigious societies on the planet. It's almost an embarrassment being an American citizen traveling around the world and listening to the stupid we have to deal with in this country.
Well, pardon me. I was casting as his commentary on the administration. I don't know that that's fair.
I'll look at it deeper, but I don't know that it is. No.
Yeah, I think you're right. Interesting. And interesting to talk to you. Hey, Matt, listen, we are out of time. Any last comments from you before I let you go?
That's, you know, I think that next time they should not schedule the Jamie Dimon earnings conference call on a Friday morning in the summer. He might be in a better mood next time.
Yeah, really, something's up. See, he's got a burr there, doesn't he? Let's talk again. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Matt Egan, CNN Money senior writer.